California conservative, a libertarian, a moderate Democrat, believe in common sense, or just a sane person, this is the political podcast for you. It's the California Underground Podcast.
What's going on, everybody? Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the California Underground Podcast. I'm your host, Phil, and as always with me is my trusty co-host, the best and fastest researcher in the West, Camille. How are you? Happy New Year to you.
Good. Happy New Year to you, too. How are you?
Did you have a good holiday as well? Did you have a Merry Christmas and all that?
Sure. No, Christmas was fine. I was just sick. Sorry, I'm checking the IG live.
I feel like the whole world got sick. I got sick. My dad was sick. Everybody got sick over Christmas. But the funny thing is, everyone I talked to was like, didn't take a COVID test. So yeah, everyone's over it, and which is how it should be, really. If you think about it, it's like, at this point, it's just another respiratory thing, and people are going to get sick, and they're going to cough, and they're not going to feel good, and that's the end of it. So
you can certainly get like needing to know what's going on so that you know how to treat it, but no.
Yeah, I mean, I had a lingering cough. I feel like a bunch of people I talked to had like a lingering cough as well. But it's over now, and you know, our immune systems that we were all blessed with, that we have inherently, I guess, fought them all off. So before we get started, it's 2024. We got a full year ahead of us. It's our new time slot. We're now here at 6 o'clock because the poll that I put up last year said that we want, the listeners wanted it to be at 6 o'clock and not 8 o'clock. We're trying it out on Instagram right now. I apologize if the video looks a little weird.
It's
so if you
like
can hear us,
guitar. It's your guitar in my fireplace.
I see that. Yeah. It's kind of weird, but you can listen in. We're going to kind of work on it. This is the first time we're doing it this way. So we'll work on it. We'll work out the kinks a little bit. I think this is part of like Riverside's new streaming, doing it this way. And Instagram just rolled out this capability. So we'll see how it works and we'll work on it. But I know a lot of people are on Instagram and they like to follow us on Instagram and watch us on live. So if nothing else, put us on in the background and just listen to us like you're sitting and listening to a nice radio show. So 2024, before we get started, we're going to be talking about all the new bills and everything that's coming out. You were mentioning some wacky ones, which we could get to, some serious ones, some ones that passed, some that did not pass. One that was passed, had an injunction, was temporarily halted, and then stay was lifted, and we'll get to that one. I think anybody who knows what I'm talking about knows, you know, has been following this, knows what I'm talking about. But before we get to that, I just like to say, I think 2024 is going to be a very busy year for us. I'm excited. I think 2023, we grew a lot. Thanks in large part to Camille's persistence to keep kicking me in the butt to keep doing things. So thank you to Camille for that. And 2024, what's that?
I mean, you're saying, because, well, I know I can be really pushy. And
no, then it's
even
good.
We're trying to get guests on, hey.
It's accountability. Hey. Is what it is. Somebody said, happy you guys are on IG. We're going to talk about CCW laws. Thank you for tuning in and listening right now. I apologize. The video looks weird. I bet if I could do this, like I could probably wave at people doing it this way. Anyway, 2024 is an election year. Not only that, it's a presidential election year. So that's going to make it even crazier and it's going to make it even busier. We don't focus so much on presidential stuff here on this show. We try and focus a lot more on California stuff. So we'll have a lot of guests. I'm sure we'll have a lot of candidates who are running. We have a guest coming on next week, Michael Oxford, who's running for state Senate up in Santa Cruz. But we'll definitely be having a lot of guests on who are running, assembly members, state senators, local candidates, stuff like that. We'd like to try and get out there and do more of those live podcasts like we did last year. We're trying to get a table at the Libertarian Convention coming up in February. So if anybody out there is connected to the Libertarian Convention, can you please put us in touch with someone? Because we've been trying to get in touch with someone to get us a table. And so far, they haven't been super responsive. But we're gonna work on that. And then I guess the GOP convention, which... who knows when that is? It was supposed to be in March, but it's in May. Has it been determined it's going to be in May? Makes sense. Is that closer to the presidential primary? Is that why they're doing it that way?
I have no idea.
I figured they probably moved it to so that they could have like presidential candidates and they can make more money off those like $500 tickets to see Ron DeSantis or whoever the heck is left in the race by that time. I can't imagine there'd be a lot of people left in the race by that time. I think people are starting to peter out. It's probably going to come down to Nikki Haley and Trump. But yeah, any resolutions or anything in 2024 you're looking forward to, Camille?
I don't make resolutions, but then you made one that you just tagged me in. So I guess our resolution is that we're going to expose more frauds.
Well, yeah, because if anyone who's like an OG fan of California Underground, you understand that during election year, you're going to get a bunch of people who are going to see the opportunity to make money off of citizens by running campaigns and promising stuff. And in the end, they don't really care about you. They just want to make a ton of money. So that's always been one of our... What's that?
I want to make a ton of money.
Well, then maybe you should... You can run for office and make a ton of money.
Thank you.
And yeah, that's always been something that we've done is we've kind of looked into what we call grifters. People who are running just because they want to run and make money off of you. Some who made a professional career out of it, and we called it. I just like to say Omar Navarro is definitely one of them that we called. I think we called that pretty much to a T correctly. Like we found that stuff and found that he was using it. And then he got brought up on federal charges for using campaign money for personal finances. And look at that. That's a resolution. I don't know. Any other predictions for 2024 right off the bat before we get started on any of these laws, politics-wise?
I don't think I have predictions. It's going to be crazy. It's already getting crazy.
It's going to be crazy to see what happens, obviously, in the presidential race with Trump and all that stuff. I can't imagine Trump's not going to be the Republican nominee. I will be hard-pressed to think that Biden will actually be the Democratic nominee. Who knows? You and I are still of the belief that Newsom's going to jump in at some point and run for president. And yeah, we'll see what happens. I mean, he's running out of time to jump in and run for president. So he's
A question, comments that's related to this is, do you think Larry Elder's presidential run was a grift?
I don't think it was a grift so much. I think he did it because he wanted to get recognition. He came out with a book too or something. So that's kind of the same thing.
I remember I had a conversation with him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, okay, I don't know Larry Elder. I met him once at a screening of a movie and I was like, hey, so what's next? What are you going to do? And this was in 2022? Yes. Summer of 2022. And I was just like, what's next with the plan with the pack? So this was after the government run. And he was like, I'm going to run for president. And he said, it's not that I want to run against Trump, but I want to bring awareness to family issues. And that's going to be my platform. And then I'm not sure about what the book is about or not, but he didn't say I'm running for a grift, but he basically was like, I want to bring recognition to issues. That's why I'm running.
And that's fine. There are plenty of people who bring up their issue candidates. They bring up issues. They run because they know they can bring issues to sort of a more national spotlight. Let's just be honest. In terms of like our definition of what a grifter is, Larry Elder does not fit that at all. I mean, Larry Elder was very successful before he left his radio show and stuff like that. So there was really no like financial benefit to him running. But if you want to bring it up, it would have been interesting to see him on the debate stage. I was kind of bummed that he didn't get on the debate stage. He's an incredible orator and a great debater. Very, very smart guy, formerly an attorney. I know that. I don't think it was a grift at all. It was just, he had his one issue. It didn't kind of really launch or go anywhere. And that was the end of his campaign. as opposed to someone like Chris Christie, whose only job is to go out there and bash Trump. You know, he's not really running for president to be serious. He's just running because he wants to bash Trump at any point. And because Vivek is sort of the Trumpian candidate, that's why he kind of goes after Vivek all the time. But anyway, let's get started on these laws. We got a bunch of laws to go over, and we're going to go over like the highlights because, as you know, in California, legislators have to justify their existence and why they need to be full-time. And first off, if I was king of California and like you were like, okay, Phil, you can start to enact policy and you don't have to, you know, you just waive your decree and make policy. One of the first things I would do is I would make all legislators part-time. There's no reason for legislators to really be full-time. You know, they're not really doing as much as I think people think they are. And no offense to the people who we've had on the show. There might be some people who come on the show and agree with us. But you'll see that they like introduce all these bills, and it's just thousands of bills get introduced every single year. And most of them don't make it out of committee. Most of them don't make it to the floor. You know, most don't make it to the vote, and most don't even get to Gavin Newsom's desk. Like a small portion of them get to the governor's desk. But it's just so many bills that we have to follow, and we do our legislative updates, what went through committee, what's not going through, what's been blocked. And kudos to Assemblywoman Kate Sanchez, who today announced that she introduced her own bill that would reduce the amount of bills that legislators can introduce. So kudos to her for doing that, because there is no reason to introduce all of these bills. Someone just pointed out, yes, we know our screen is split in half. Like we said, we're trying to just do this as like this is first time doing it. It's the new time doing an IG live. So, we understand that, but just hang out and listen, and, you'll still get the same effect. It's like listening to audio, but you get to see our guitar and fireplace. So yeah, there's plenty of bills. We're just doing the highlights. I'm not even sure if we'll get through all the bills we want to talk about tonight. But we'll definitely give it the good old college try and not try and go too much over. Is there any that you want to start with before we get going on anything?
I'll let you start. I mean, we discussed them beforehand, obviously.
Okay.
I think I brought up just silly ones for the most part. There's important ones, but
Camille likes the silly laws. It's like the date shake from last year?
What we were talking about before we hopped on is that, which again, kudos to Kate Sanchez, because we actually, our tax dollars paid these legislators to come up with these bills, and yet none of them are life-changing at all for anyone, yeah. But it was like, so someone was paid and they spent their time doing that, and it went through committees and then it passed. Like, so we'll get to that.
Yeah. All right. Let's start off with our favorite senator.
Oh boy.
Scott Wiener.
Yay.
Let's start off with him. As we all know, any fans of the show know that we discovered or exposed the fact that he's beholden to big real estate. That's his biggest donor. So a new law that was passed is SB 423 and SB 4, both authored by San Francisco Democrat and Human Housing Bill Factory, Senator Scott, housing shortage by making it easier to build. SB 423, the most closely watched housing bill of the year, renews Wiener's 2017 law that forces local governments to automatically greenlight apartments and other dense housing urban projects, so as long as the developer set a certain share of units aside for lower income residents. This other bill, which has been more interesting, it's really weird to see Scott Wiener posting this all over social. SB 4, dubbed as Yes in God's Backyard, would clear the way for churches, synagogues, mosques, and other houses of worship, along with nonprofit colleges, to build designated affordable housing on their properties without having to conduct environmental reviews, receive approval from local governments, or request changes to zoning. Like I said, Scott Wiener is beholden to the real estate lobbyists, the biggest real estate lobbyists, and the unions and all that. So he's always pushing housing. This one was weird that it's Yes in God's Backyard, that now a lot of these houses of worship. Of course, the bigger irony of all housing bills that come from any Democrat in California is you wrote the laws like CEQA that make it hard to build housing. And now you're passing laws to kind of get around CEQA. So, and like, you'll see a lot of these Democrats complain that, oh, there's too many regulations, environmental impact studies and all that stuff. And it's like, dude, you were the one who came up with the law and the requirements that you have to do these environmental studies. And now you're going around saying, oh, we're trying to solve the problem and we need affordable housing. Yeah, no, like, we're trying to do that for years. And now all of a sudden people like Scott Wiener are jumping on it.
Housing isn't affordable. I mean, there's many reasons why it's not affordable, but because of all the freaking regulations that someone has to go to build a house, suddenly, like, before they've even started building, they're, you know, six figures in. And then, of course, that's going to go back to the home buyer. You know, it costs so much to build the house. And, okay, if Scott Wiener authored the bill, I mean, I'm automatically, like, out. Like, it's just him. But I do agree with, okay, remove all these environmental restrictions, because I remember reading when I was, like, a teenager about things going on in California where they stopped a housing project multiple times because they found endangered flies and needed to make sure that they did not hurt the flies.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Endangered flies.
Flies. Don't ask me what breed of flies.
But they're endangered.
They were endangered, and so this housing project couldn't carry on until they could figure out a way to not hurt these flies.
Yeah, I mean, if they want to get really serious about housing, there's a really easy solution, which is basically scrap all of this and start all over again. just basically go like, okay, all these regulations and all these environmental studies and all this stuff that has just like built upon itself over and over and over again, just scrap it and start all over again, because this whole like chipping away at it, like Scott Wiener's bill is trying to do, and allow like churches and mosques and all of them to like build housing in their backyard. It's acknowledging that there is a problem with zoning and regulations here in California without really addressing the issue, which is just get rid of it all. Just start all over.
Get rid of the bill. Don't add a new one.
Yeah. Like just, you know, like sack up and just do it, like introduce a bill and be like, let's wipe all the housing stuff away. Let's start all over again, because there's too much regulations and stuff layered on top of each other at this point to really make a difference. Like you said, it gets to a point where it's so expensive because now they require builders to use a certain type of wood, and they have to use a certain type of recycled metal, and they have to use a certain type of this, and they have to put this kind of electrical system in. And it like becomes this whole like everything costs more, and housing is unaffordable in California, because by the time the finished product is done and ready for someone to move in, they have to charge $500,000 or way more to even get a profit off of any of these housing. So just scrap it and start all over again. But
$500,000 sounds so cheap, right?
I know. If I saw a house for like $500,000, I'd be like, let's put in an offer right now. But then we'd be outbid by like someone with cash by $150,000 or something. Okay. Next one. Any suggestions you want to move on to the next one, or should we just keep going down the
list? Go ahead and I'll just, you know, run my mouth.
Okay. Whenever you're ready to jump in and announce any wacky laws, let me know. This next one, we've been following this one for a while. This is SB 43. This expands the legal definition of gravely disabled. So let me back up here. In case you've been living under a rock, California has a homeless problem. California has not figured out how to address that homeless problem. The homeless problem has gotten so bad, Democrats are starting to feel the wrath of voters going to meetings and city council and county meetings and stuff like that, saying there's too many homeless. So they've thrown $20 billion at the problem for housing. That hasn't worked. They've tried to figure out how to get them off the streets with free housing and all this stuff. Hasn't really worked. So the Democrats, the champions of civil rights and, you know, privacy rights, are now enacting a law, or making it, expanding a law in California that thereby infringes more on your civil rights. And what do I mean? There's this law called the Lanterman Petras Short Act of 1967. Basically what it is, and to boil it down to give people a mental, or the men in white coats come in with the straitjacket and throwing you in a van and taking you to a mental institution. That's a crude way to put it. Basically what it is, it's a conservatorship where you're so mentally incapacitated and you have such mental issues that basically the state says you have to be forced into a mental health care facility. Now, this has been a really, really hard standard to meet. Obviously, you don't want to just kind of apply and have anyone thrown into a mental institution. They've chipped away at it over years to make it harder and harder. Democrats now have figured out, wait a second, if we expand this law to include substance abuse and chronic alcoholism, and that you won't be able, because of these two issues, substance abuse and alcoholism, you can't provide food or shelter for yourself. Wait a second. Now we can have courts deem these people incompetent, sweep them off the street, and throw them into mental institutions. So that's what Democrats have basically done. This is what Gavin Newsom has championed. He has come out with this thing called Care Court. It's going to be implemented and rolled out in several counties. San Diego is one of them. I think LA, it's another one, San Francisco. I don't know if Orange County is one of them, but it's like the bigger counties are going to go first. So basically, the Democrats have gotten so desperate to figure out housing that they've expanded this law to basically start to grab people off the street and throw them into mental institutions. I mean, I think it's just kind of funny that Democrats who are all about civil rights and letting people do whatever they want have now come to this conclusion that it's best to just use the government to scoop them off the streets. What are your thoughts?
Well, a few seconds ago, you described this bill as they decided to expand this bill. And that's where they lose me. Like, we're expanding bills. We're not doing away with, we're just expanding. And we already know, yes, there's some actual facilities that are helping people, but we already know they're not. They're literally just like, from everything that we've heard and been told so many times, they're basically taking them to drug safe houses, which aren't really safe, but it's like, and I'm not saying that all homeless people are drug addicts. I have worked with homeless people and they're not all drug addicts. You know, there's different situations, it happens, but it's this like, they're not helping them recover and, you know, releasing them back into society as functioning people. They're encouraging this behavior while we also know that they pay homeless people to live here, which encourages homeless people to come from other states because, hey, we can still be homeless but have money in California. And so they need to end that, or we're never going to see an end to this. And I don't think that we'll ever actually see an end to homelessness, but let's, you know, bring it. It's ridiculously out of control and we're encouraging it. And these so-called safe places and mental facilities are just, they're just going to medicate them. They're going to allow them to use their drugs or whatever, but like, at least it's under supervision. They're not doing anything to help these people get out of their situations.
Yeah, it's one of those things, I think. Well, let's see, it said who supported it was the Big City Mayors Coalition, which includes mayors from the state's 13 biggest cities. I mean, that's not surprising. If you're a mayor of a large city in California, you are hearing it from your constituents that homelessness is a problem. And you're hearing it from your constituents that mental issues with homelessness has become a real problem. And what else are you going to do? At a certain point, you've run out of solutions. So the fact that someone authored this bill and said, hey, why don't we just make it easier to just nab them off the street? But you're right. Why don't we also enforce the laws in terms of, you know, loitering or vagrancy or any of these things that we should be doing? We should be putting a hard And we've talked about this before with homelessness. There has to be sort of like a line for society to go, this is where society is. Excuse me. This is where society is if you want to be a member of society, you have to act in a certain way. When you cross that line over in society and you start to do things that are not in line with what normal people in a functioning society would do, you sort of, there has to be a stop to it. And I think the problem is California has let that line go way out and like almost have just really kind of pushed that line farther and farther out to the point where taxpaying citizens are now fearing for their lives when they go outside. They don't know if like this homeless person I'm walking up on who is clearly under the influence of some sort of drug or alcohol, are they going to attack me? Am I in trouble? Like, do I have to walk to the other side of the street? It becomes this whole issue of like, well, I'm a normal functioning person of society. What do we do in this case where someone's not a normal functioning person of society? So to your point, I think we still have to get hard on homelessness. There has to be a line in the sand of like, okay, you can't do this anymore. Like, we've dumped $20 billion worth of taxpayer money into providing housing, giving you an opportunity. And if you don't take it, then like, we don't know what else to do. Like, you can't, it's the old line. You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. Like, you just can't anymore. So there's a lot to fix on homelessness, and you're right. We can't continue handing out money. We can't continue to give stipends. We can't get like San Francisco can't continue to give $600 a month in cash payments. There has to be, you have to make it uncomfortable, but also give people that option of somewhere to go to get help, whether it's charities or housing or something like that. But it can't continue the way it is. And Democrats have just gotten really desperate now with this bill where they just don't want to hear from constituents anymore. Because let's be honest, that's all they care about right now. Is they don't want to hear about from their constituents anymore that there's too many homeless. I'm tired of looking at homeless people. There's crazy homeless people on my street. I can't walk my dog. I can't take my kids to the park because there's homeless people in the park. That's all they care about. They just don't want to hear it from their constituents anymore. So they've enacted or expanded this broader law, which basically allows people to get scooped up off the street and thrown into these institutions. So it hasn't really gone into effect yet, but I'll be interested to see what happens.
I bet it sound like I'm joking. I don't remember if San Francisco passed this one. Palm Springs, I thought, did, where if you identify as LGBTQ+, they're giving you a certain amount of money. Do you know if that passed in San Francisco?
I don't know. I didn't hear about that.
Because there's, you know, San Francisco, you get 600-ish or whatever for if you're homeless. You also get reparations payments. And I'm just wondering, like, how many of these can you, you know, if you come in and you're Black and you identify as LGBTQ and homeless, like, how many payments are you getting from the government?
I mean, just check the boxes, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Like, do they get to qualify for more than one of these? This is a sincere question. Like,
yeah.
Like, hey, I have all the things and now I'm getting $2,000 a month. Yay.
Yeah. And I mean, nobody in California has money right now.
I know.
Maybe Orange County has money because they kind of have their...
I don't know. We don't anymore.
Maybe Orange County is the only one that has their stuff together, or like any of the counties up in like the state of Jefferson. But like San Francisco's broke. LA's broke.
Like, I'm sorry because I didn't mean to come across sounding that way. I'm just saying, like, I know for us, it's like, you know, I do get to stay home, but it's becoming increasingly harder.
California does not have money. And we're going to talk about that in a couple of weeks on a different episode about why California doesn't have any money. But I think reparations should be probably dead in the water now that we're $68 billion in the red.
Okay. So speaking of that and dead in the water things, California ID, this is so kind of randomly off topic. They keep extending that. Do you think that's going to end up being thrown out?
California ID?
The real ID that California is switching to. You know, they delayed it because of COVID, and it's delayed again and delayed again. And like right now, you have to have it by May of 2025. So just a little over a year, but they've extended it so many times that I'm starting to think that's going to just be done with, or just be like, eh, no, this is obsolete.
No, that one I actually think is going to go through eventually, just because you need it to like use it as an ID to get on a plane, correct?
Not yet. You will. Not yet.
You will eventually. Yeah, you need to get your real ID done. Yeah. So I think sooner or later, like, it's going to force people to get a real ID, because if you want to get on a plane, unless you use a passport, you're going to have to get a real ID. But yeah, you're right. It is one of those things. I keep going to the airport and I see like it just keeps getting delayed until I feel like I've been seeing like, get your real ID by this year. And then it's like,
right.
Then it's next year. And then it's 2 years. And then it's like, who knows like when it's actually going to go into effect. I mean, just get, just get your real ID if you want to fly on planes. Just makes it a lot easier. Is there like a,
wow, Phil.
Is there like a holdout? Is there a holdout for like why people want to keep their old ID? I don't know. It doesn't really change.
But now it's time and money for you to go get a different ID.
True. Yeah. Nobody likes to go to the DMV.
And what is this money going towards? It's not fixing our roads.
Well, no, none of the money that's supposed to go to roads ever goes to roads. It gets siphoned off into other projects. It gets siphoned off into the high-speed rail, which they're trying to bring back from the dead, I guess. I saw that news today, that they're trying to bring back the high-speed rail, and that they're all excited because they think they're going to actually finish it this time, and they're going to have a rail line between Fresno and other parts of Central Valley, you know, those really big populated areas that people are trying to get to. Okay, this is, speaking of dead in the water, this is another one that I actually thought was kind of interesting. Camille, have you ever served on a jury? No? Okay. Do you know how much you get in a daily stipend to serve on a jury in the state of California?
$11, right?
It's $15.
Oh, yeah, okay.
So $15 barely covers your lunch while you're in jury duty. They actually tried to get this bill passed. It would expand the stipend from $15 to $100. You had to like qualify for like, you had to show like income as to why you needed $100 a day. I don't think it's a horrible idea, because there's a lot of people who just don't show up for jury duty. I think you should be judged by a diverse group of your peers. I don't think it should just be, it always ends up being like retired people who sit on juries. Because they have time and they don't have to worry about money. So I don't think it was a bad idea. I think $15 is kind of ridiculous to serve on a jury.
Agree, but now to have to prove that you need the $100 or that you're in, like, is that what you said?
When you get a jury summons, what happens is you can say, I can't serve on a jury because of financial economic hardship.
There was breastfeeding for several years, and now I'm a homeschool mom. If I'm gone, my kids don't get educated.
You go. Those are your ways to get out of it. But some people say, well, I can't, I'm not going to get time off. I don't make enough money. I'd lose all this money. And like, I just can't take time off. So you do lose out on a good portion of the population. You just can't serve on a jury. I don't know if $100 makes it up, but it does make a big difference. I think more people would be inclined to sit on a jury if they were being compensated properly.
Since I've never done it, it's you call in the day before or the morning of, or how does it, what's the process now?
I mean, here in San Diego, the process is you take your little ticket. You show up to the courthouse the day of. There's a huge room where there's like hundreds and hundreds of people. You have a number, and then they call your number randomly, and then you go up and they either dismiss you or they send you to a courtroom where you go through voir dire, and then you get picked for a jury.
And how long approximately before your number is called?
Could be an hour, could be all day long. So okay. It's until you're dismissed.
So let's say you're there for 5, 6, 7, 8 hours.
Mm-hmm.
What is your wage now for being there?
That's the weird thing. You don't get compensated for showing up. You get compensated when you sit on the jury.
Right. Right.
So
you could wait all day and you've now lost that day and you don't get any stipend for it and you've spent your gas money to go there. So that's why I'm saying you shouldn't, if we're going to raise $200, great, raise it $200, but don't make someone prove that they need that $100. Like, no.
That's sort of dumb
to me.
I mean, the kinks definitely need to be worked out. This is why Newsom vetoed it. He said, "Well, I appreciate the author's work to create a more equal justice system. This policy needs to be part of budget discussions." The estimated cost, I think, where was it said? It was like $4 to $9 million was the estimated cost a year. Now compare that to how much we're going to be spending on healthcare for undocumented persons. I guess that's the proper like PC way to say it, undocumented persons. That was the biggest news, I think, coming into January, is this expansion of Medi-Cal. This wasn't really a bill. We were talking about this before we hopped on, but they've expanded Medi-Cal to include those who are undocumented. And I think it's going to be around $4 billion is what it's going to be. The latest expansion of Medi-Cal will cost about $2.6 billion on top of a $330 billion budget.
Right. And we're at a $68 billion deficit this year.
Right. And then Governor Newsom also signed SB 770 in October, presented by you-know-who, to force all Californians out of their existing health coverage, including Medicare, employer-based coverage, and Affordable Care Act, Obamacare plans, and into untested government-run system with no ability to opt out or choose private coverage instead. So universal healthcare is basically on its way. So good news for healthcare here in California. I don't know how much more people have to, like, is this one of those issues you think? Do you think this is an issue that cuts across party lines, or do you think it cuts directly down party lines? Do you think like it crosses party lines where we're kind of like sane Californians, whether you're red, blue, or whatever, kind of look at this and go like, wait a second, I'm paying $600, $700, $800 a month for my family for health insurance, probably more for families. I don't know how much it is for a full family. And then to hear that they're giving away Medi-Cal insurance to undocumented immigrants who show up.
I wish it was a nonpartisan issue in the sense that the majority of California would be sane enough to say that's a really bad idea, but it's likely split. And I have a feeling at least extreme leftists probably agree with it, while the majority of anyone to the middle, to the right, is like, no, this is... Did that answer your question? Is that what you were asking?
Yeah, I think, you know, we keep talking about, like, at a certain point, does California go too insane that it starts to shake and wake up people who are more in the middle, or maybe they're middle left leaning. I wonder if this is one of those issues that like starts to wake people, or they're like, wait a second, how much are we spending on free health insurance for those who are undocumented? And then they look at their health insurance bill and they're like, wait a second, how much am I spending on health insurance? Why am I? Like, I wonder if that's just an issue that does start to cut across lines, that people kind of go, is this a bridge too far?
I
would hope it kind of wakes up a lot of people to the point where they go like, what are we spending money on? And then on top of the fact that we have a $68 billion deficit, I think that combined with each other kind of goes, we're already in a huge deficit, yet somehow we can afford to pay for this, but we can't afford to pay people $100 to serve on the jury. So someone said in the chat, you have to have a real ID to buy a gun nowadays. So there you go. If you want to purchase a firearm, you need a real ID.
Where that started. Cause we bought one recent, well, no, I guess it wasn't that recent, huh? Without it.
Yeah, maybe it's new. That's the new thing that's happening right now. I don't know. I think as Gavin Newsom, if he's trying to moderate himself for a presidential run, this was not the move. I understand in the scope of California politics, it makes sense. But if you're running for president, it makes absolutely no sense. So,
well, let's like, okay, a lot of that is going to be our own, like your, I don't know. I mean, who pays for your healthcare if your work does or whatever, but like yours is probably going to go up. Mine's probably going to go up to start covering these things. You know, that's generally how it works. And then we learned now, if you want to buy a home and you have good credit, your mortgage is going to have fees tacked on for those who don't have good credit. And so it's like, now it's like, okay, I had to pay for my healthcare. That's just going to cost more to help others. And my mortgage, if I want to buy a home to help others. And it's like, it's not the government's job to do. You can't legislate morality like this. Like, I know Christians on the left who scream like, well, we need to feed the poor. Yeah, we need to feed the poor. But what the government's doing isn't doing. It's not how we do it.
Right.
And we're all going broke and we're not going to be able to feed the poor because we're not going to be able to feed ourselves.
We're all going to be poor. And then who feeds us when we're all poor? Like, how can we be charitable when we're all trying to make ends meet?
Exactly.
That's what we talked about on our episode before the break was with the Christian caucus. Basically, like you're saying, the notion that like people will say, oh, how can you call yourself a Christian and like not vote for like universal healthcare? Like, what do you hate people and you want people to die? Like, do you not want to help poor people? And it's like, well, yeah, I want to help poor people, but I want to help poor people. And the government's a horrible steward of helping people. Like, the sooner we all realize that the government is a horrible, horrible steward of helping poor people, and that like, then the sooner we can stop voting to give them more and more power and more money. But anyway, let's see. Next one. There was another one, decriminalized psychedelic drugs. That didn't pass. Scott Wiener again. So they tried to get that through. Limit hand count votes in election. This did pass. AB 969 would ban hand counting of votes except in very narrow circumstances in regular elections with 1,000 registered voters or fewer eligible to vote, in special elections with 5,000 voters or fewer. And this is in response to Shasta County Board of Supervisors voting in January to end the county's contract with Dominion Voting. So after that, you know, again, this comes to this issue of separation powers and sort of the system we have in California, where it's such a big state, really every county is kind of like its own state, should be able to govern yourselves as is. I think I'm in favor of like decentralizing Sacramento and letting counties do more of their own decisions and run the way they want to. So they wanted to do all hand counting for votes after 2020 election, and didn't go over so well. Sacramento didn't like that, so they nixed that, and now they banned all hand counting of votes in California. So no more hand counting. It's got to be by machine. You're shaking your head. Thoughts?
It's just... sorry, it's the same old, Sacramento involving themselves in local politics. And I am not by any means a political expert. I'm not that politically smart, but, and you can correct me if I'm wrong. I feel like if I could share any advice, the biggest advice that I would say is local elections matter most. Like, I wish everyone would stop freaking out over Congress and presidents. Yes, they matter, but like, oh my gosh, your local elections matter so much. Please pay attention to them. Please. Mm-hmm. They control so much of your life.
Yeah. I mean, we don't want to sound like a broken record, but they do matter. I mean, look at who we had Sonia Shaw on about a month ago at this point. And look at what just one person being elected to school board and how that reverberated throughout the state because of what she did on a local level, and what she was able to do on a local level created a new narrative and a discussion in California about like parental rights, which then creates this bigger issue. So it does matter who is on your local. I remember during COVID, I used to tell people like every local office matters, from governor all the way down to school board. Like even school board matters the most. And now school boards have become, you know, very important in parental rights and protecting parental rights. So they all matter. And I think counties should matter. You should care about your county supervisors. Here in San Diego, one of our county supervisors has more allegations against him for sexual harassment, but that's another whole nother topic. So it matters. It does make a big difference who's in your local election. I was just shaking my head
because Sacramento keeps inserting themselves into local politics. And it's just, it's very frustrating.
Well, again, it's sort of the irony of Democrats is that they're always screeching about how, you know, Donald Trump is a danger or a threat to our democracy. But then when local official and local elections are democratically held and people vote in certain politicians, they're like, well, no, 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 you can't have those types of politicians. We don't respect those types of decisions. So they like democracy, but not when it goes against them. That's always the ironic thing about Democrats. And Sacramento always puts its nose in. Another bill that died, which I thought was absolutely ludicrous. They wanted to, this is SB 799, they would give unemployment to those who are going on strike, workers who go on strike. And of course, the California Labor Federation was a big proponent. A slew of unions also supported. Not surprising. And it basically would, yeah, it would give you unemployment if you went on strike. Now, to me, this just screamed as a huge bailout and gift for the unions. If you know anything about California politics, the unions have a lot of power. And by doing so, you now allow people to go on strike more easily, which gives unions more power, which gives them more negotiating power. And basically, it's just a kickback to the unions. Thankfully, you know, broken clock is right twice a day. Gavin Newsom did veto this. This is not law. He said the expansion of eligibility for unemployment benefits could increase California's outstanding federal debt, projected at nearly $20 billion, and could lead to increased taxes on employers. Quote, furthermore, the state is responsible for the interest payments on the federal UI loan, and to date has paid $362.7 million in interest, with another $302 million due this month in his veto message. Now is not the time to increase costs or incur this sizable debt. Unless it's $2.6 billion of Medi-Cal for undocumented migrants. So yeah, I was glad that this was actually vetoed because, you know what? Call me old-fashioned. But if you're going to strike, there's got to be some risk involved, right? Like you can't... If you're still going to get paid to go out and strike, then, I mean, people will just strike at any point, right? Like there's no risk. There's no like downside to striking. You can just be like, well, I'm going to go strike and I'll get paid my unemployment. And then I'll just sit on the picket line. I feel like there's gotta be a little pain if you're going to strike. Like you're this passionate about something. You're willing to give up your job and money to go stand on a picket line, right? Like, I mean, I'm just old fashioned like that. You know, if you're going to go strike and protest, you should probably, you know, you should have a little skin in the game. Makes you want to get back to work, right? Any thoughts on that before we go to the next one?
No, I agree with you.
Agree 100%. All right, we're going to kind of go more rapid fire since we're coming up almost on an hour. Fast food workers got a raise. AB 1228 is now $20 an hour. And in response quickly, Pizza Hut laid off all of their delivery drivers in all of California, about 1,200 delivery drivers. So well done on that. Instead of getting paid $20 an hour, those workers are now making $0 an hour. So they did not see any increase in their hourly wage. Tax guns and ammo. This did pass AB 28 by Assemblymember Jesse Gabriel, a Woodland Hills Democrat, would impose an 11% excise tax on retailers and manufacturers for sale of guns or ammunition. I think, who was it said they were going to sue over this? One of the gun rights groups was going to sue over this.
The taxes to go to? Like, I mean, usually they say this, you know, like, is this going to go to some sort of gun safety fund? Like,
Bringing an estimated $160 million annually for violence intervention programs, school safety improvements, and law enforcement efforts to confiscate guns. So, from people who are prohibited from owning them. So, that's what it's going to go to. I mean, it doesn't stop a lot of people. It sucks. Right. If you are a gun owner, people aren't going to stop buying it. What was this? This is Gavin Newsom said, this is not a general income tax. From my perspective, it's more of a sin tax. So that's what Gavin Newsom thinks of you buying guns and ammunition, is it's a sin to buy guns and ammunition here in the state of California. This last one I want to get to because it's interesting and we've been following it. And speaking of gun owners, SB2 was the law regarding carrying concealed weapons. Little background about it for those who don't know. Supreme Court came out with a decision last year. It was an amazing decision in the Bruin decision. Basically, it said everybody has a right to carry and conceal. It's part of your Second Amendment rights. It's our natural right to defend ourselves. It's part of our nation's history to carry and conceal. So basically, they said there should be no more good cause. It should be easier for everyone to carry and conceal. So made it a lot easier, especially here in California, that notoriously makes it hard to get a carry and conceal permit in some counties like San Francisco or any places like that. Now they couldn't use good cause to like block people to get carry and conceal. Basically, it was everybody went from may issue to shall issue as long as you don't have like felonies or anything. So there was a onslaught of people applying for permits. So there was a small part in the Supreme Court decision where they said, you can name certain places based on our history as sensitive places. Now, these are places that throughout our history, we wouldn't carry firearms. You know, like government buildings is one. I'm trying to think of other places. Basically, all government buildings, schools, stuff like that. Like, you can't carry firearms there. But other than that, like private businesses, you can carry a firearm to protect yourself as long as they don't have a metal detector to try and keep you out. Parks, any other public areas, stuff like that, walking along the sidewalk. So a lot of these states, these blue states, go, aha. So you said as long as you can't carry in sensitive places. Therefore, we're going to write a bill that says you can't carry in private businesses. You can't carry in schools. You can't carry in parks. You can't carry in church. You can't carry here. You can't carry on the sidewalk next to a private business. You can't carry on a sidewalk next to a church. You can't carry on a sidewalk, blah, blah, blah. So basically, you now have a bill that allows you to carry and conceal from your home to your driveway to your car. And that's about it. That's really it. Oh, and you could carry in private businesses as long as there was a sign on the front of the business that said, carry and conceal firearms are welcome. As if any business is actually going to put that out there. So obviously SB2 was signed into law, immediately gets struck down federal court. Judge said gross misrepresentation of the Second Amendment, what Bruin said. There was a preliminary injunction, huge win, SB2 not going into effect. Now they had this administrative stay, which was for like a week or so. That has just been lifted. And most people, including myself, legally think this has no legs and it's going to get struck down in federal court. It was supposed to go into effect. Federal courts have district court struck it down, said it's unconstitutional. It was appealed to the Ninth Circuit. We'll see where it goes from there. I imagine it's going to get struck down one way or another. So good news is if you're a carry and conceal permit holder, you can now carry under the old rules before SB2, because there is currently an injunction. So that's where we're at. Any thoughts on SB2?
Well, great. It's great news that it's, you know, currently struck down. And obviously I really hope it stays that way, especially in California that will set a huge precedent for the entire nation, I hope.
Yeah.
And I mean, well, you
I've
know,
always said, I've always said, and my belief is let them pass these crazy laws because they're going to get struck down and you're just creating more case precedents for the Second Amendment. I mean, yeah. Great. You know, like we had this one Supreme Court decision, which was huge. Now we're going to have more of these cases going up. I think Hawaii is going to be another one where Hawaii also tried this whole sensitive places thing. So, I mean, just keep trying to put these crazy laws out there, have them be struck down, create more case precedent, and just further strengthen the argument that you have a right to carry and conceal. So, I'm, you know, as a carry and conceal holder myself, I think it's great news. I think it's going to, the fact that they left the injunction in place as opposed to like this stay pending appeal, which is usually what the kind of BS that they usually do where they're like, we got a ruling, but now it's stay pending appeal. That happens in a lot of Second Amendment cases. It's great that the injunction is going to be throughout like the whole appeal. So that's great news. Shows that we're probably on the right side or right track and that this is eventually going to get struck down. All right. So we got a couple minutes left. Those are all the bills I wanted to go over. Again, there were like so many that you could go over. Oh, last one, the ban book bans.
Yes, I was just going to read it.
Yeah, AB 1078. Do you want to talk about that one?
You go ahead.
Sure. So basically, like we were talking about with school boards, AB 1078 will penalize school boards that ban books and other educational materials based solely on the materials inclusion of history related to Black, Latino, Asian, Native American, LGBTQ people, and other groups. It would amend the existing education code, which requires teaching materials to include the experience and perspective of diverse racial, ethnic, and LGBTQ groups in curriculum. Again, this is part of this whole, they didn't like that school boards were starting to question materials that were in the library. And we had Sonia Shaw on, and basically what they said is there's a process it has to go through, and it doesn't get banned. It gets moved to a different part of the library, not accessible to like children who it's inappropriate for. Correct.
Correct. Like they would move it, maybe move it to the middle school or high school area or, you know, fifth grade and up or whatever.
Yeah, so it wasn't a book ban. It was, this book is not appropriate for children of this age. But obviously, again, Sacramento doesn't like the fact that there's local elections and these locally elected officials who are making decisions. So they came in and came up with AB 1078. I can imagine this might get sued and brought up in court.
I'm not on board with banning all the books. I know some of my favorite books that I read at high school, I think like Catcher in the Rye, I think is banned in California right now, or at least in many districts. I'm not sure, but I had heard it was banned. I loved that book, but reading is great, but we can't ban book banning because at some point there's going to be something that I think the majority will disagree with both sides down the line. Like they're going to be like, no, this cannot be. We have to, because where do they, if the graphic books are okay, then what makes the graphic videos not okay too? Like,
yeah,
this is one of those, it's a slippery slope, Bill. And so I don't agree with it because of that. Like I'm just not for like ban all the books, but there really does need to be some judgment here and there needs to be parent involvement and it should be local. If the parents in that district feel that those books, like they vote that they're inappropriate and they don't want them in the schools, then they should be banned, moved, whatever, you know? And again, these books are being banned from schools. You can still buy it on Amazon, pick it up at your local library or whatever. Like, it's not like this book just got burned for eternity. So I hate the extreme, like it's banned. Like, no, if you really want your kid to read it, just go buy it, go borrow it, whatever.
Amazon exists. You can get it probably next day or same day delivery.
You know, exactly. You can probably get it on Kindle for 99 cents immediately. Like, and But yeah, it's just, again, slippery slope. Where does this end? What, there's, something's going to enter the school system, but they're going to be like, oh no, our hands are tied. It's allowed. And like I said, like, where do we stop now with videos, like movies and stuff? What is and isn't okay.
Somebody just asked, why can't I see your faces? It's our first time doing IG Live with this software, so we'll figure it out. But hey, we're here, we're live, and you're listening to us. And thank you to everyone who's been tuning in. It's great. A lot of activity on Instagram Live. Brings me back to coffee and California politics days. The good old days, the throwback days, right? Anyway, any weird laws before we finish up? We talked about the mushroom one. There was another one.
I just would like to let everyone know that we officially have a state mushroom. I know you were all waiting for that. So California has a mushroom to go with our poppy and bear flag. Well, yeah. Anyway, we have a mushroom.
What mushroom? So
in other words, it doesn't say in this, does it? Let's see.
There's also the gender neutral toy display. It doesn't have
any special protections to the mushroom. It's just meant to highlight and honor a unique California species. So I guess we have a unique species of, and then you can park your scooter in your apartment now.
Oh,
and you know, your e-scooters and electric bikes could be charged in your apartment.
Okay.
And security deposits, that was actually kind of an important one. They now you no longer need 2 months rent, because it used to be like the security deposit plus possible fine. I haven't rented in so long, I don't remember, but it was like 2 months worth, and I think they can only charge you now 1 month's worth for the security deposit.
Oh yeah, that was on here. Strengthen some renters' rights. Yeah, you can't do 2 months now, it's only 1 month. I mean, of course, the way housing prices are going, we'll all be renters anyway soon, so it's good news for a lot of us.
The one about SB 407, which was the Scott Wiener bill,
of course,
for all LGBTQ foster children won't be placed in homes with unsupportive caregivers of that lifestyle. So that's a new thing, is, you know, if you want to foster children, you need to make sure you're LGBTQ friendly. I'm not trying to say that wrong. I just rushed through it. So I'm really not trying to be like a brat about LGBTQ.
And then in the fight for global climate change, California has banned the sale of gas powered lawn equipment, because that's gonna make the difference against fighting against China and India when it comes to pollution.
What's California gonna do when gas sales go down, and then they realize they're just gonna increase the price of gas again?
Probably,
because they sure like to gouge us on that.
So that's a preview of, I mean, you can go probably down the rabbit hole and see all the laws that were enacted this year in California. There were a lot, and there's a lot every year. And right now they're coming up with more crazy laws as we speak. Because every year they have to come up with more crazy laws to justify why they need to have a full-time position. So that's our preview. Keep an eye on everything else. Any final thoughts before we sign off for the night? Our first episode back in 2024.
If anyone can connect us to Kate Sanchez, because she authored that law. Not law, yeah. Sorry, the bill.
Yeah. Let's get Kate Sanchez on. We've been trying to get her on for a while now. So we'll try and get her on and talk about that. Next week we're having a guest, Michael Oxford, who is running for state Senate in Santa Cruz. So he'll be the first candidate of 2024. Then after that, I think, is why we're in a deficit. And then we're going to have another follow-up episode about the first grifter episode of 2024 will be a follow-up episode on Carl DeMaio, who is now running for state assembly. So we'll be doing our homework and getting all our ducks in a row for that one. I think that's basically it for our first episode of the year. We had a lot to talk about. Any final thoughts? Or great. Okay. Well, then I'll end every episode as I usually do, which is, make sure you like, share, subscribe, review. Sorry about Instagram Live and why you can't see our faces. We'll try and figure that out. It might be a software thing that we don't really have control over. But thank you for everyone who tuned in and is watching the live on Instagram. It's like the, like I said, like the old coffee and California politics days. And make sure you follow us on YouTube, all those different places. And the best thing you can do to support the show that's absolutely free is you can send it to other Californians, especially Californians who need to know about all these new laws going into effect. So with that, we will see you on the next one. Have a good night, everybody. Later.
Thank you for listening to another episode of California Underground. If you like what you heard, remember to subscribe, like, and review it, and follow California Underground on social media for updates as to when new episodes are available.